Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We'll come to the Lord in a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we do come into thy presence again through the wonderful and precious name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We desire, O God, the words of this hymn to be true in our lives. We desire to have clean hands and we desire to have a pure heart. We are reminded in Scripture, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully, for he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. We are aware, O God, that only one man could it ever be said of that these things were true, the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. But we thank thee for our union with him, and thereby we can approach thy throne with confidence. We can come into thy presence with boldness of speech to petition thy holy throne and to cry to thee, O God, that thou wilt grant to us such a heart. We pray that as we meet around thy precious word, that thy dear servant, the Reverend Brown, will know help and unction and power from the Holy Ghost. We pray that as we hear the word of God, that thou wilt, by thy Spirit, apply it to our hearts, engraft it into us, we pray. May its truths take hold of our lives, and may we live out the gospel, even in this world that is cynical, even concerning biblical things. We pray, O God, that thou wilt encourage us and strengthen us. We thank thee that thy word is food to our soul. It's manna from heaven. Lord, we say in the words of the hymn writer, feed me till I want no more. Come and feed us with the finest of the wheat, we pray. Glorify thy Son. Exalt the Lamb for sinners slain. And may all who listen, be drawn to him and be brought to saving faith in Christ. So answer prayer and meet with us, we ask of thee. For we offer our petitions and prayers in and through Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. We're reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and we're beginning our reading at the verse number 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offences. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. And God will add a blessing to his most precious word. We want to continue to worship God by singing, I'm pressing on the upward way.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and the verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. A carpenter will accomplish much more with a sharp tool than he ever would with a blunt tool. I want to speak to you today about shoddiness. Shoddy Christianity. You see, a blunt believer will sadly live a shoddy Christianity. Before I came into the gospel ministry, I was employed in the building trade. And as a joiner, there was one phrase that you never wanted to hear. It may be when someone was coming to inspect your work, you would never want them to say, "That's shoddy workmanship." That would be a shameful thing. And it's the very same with the Christian. It's a shameful thing to be a shoddy Christian. A shoddy Christian is someone who is not getting the victory over sin. Maybe a particular sin that they have been battling with, but they're just not getting the victory over it. Maybe that discipline of meeting the Lord regularly, morning and evening in prayer and reading the Word of God. Maybe the heart is growing cold, or maybe the joy is gone. And your testimony before the unconverted is poor. That's someone who is a shoddy Christian. And a shoddy Christian brings no glory to the kingdom of God, to Christ, to his church. It's a miserable existence for a believer when they are shoddy and not going on with God. The early chapters of Revelation are actually given to address some shoddy Christians. In chapter 2, the Christians in Ephesus, well, they were backslidden. They had left their first love. The believers in Pergamos, they had been seduced by sin and were genuinely entering into very ungodly behavior with other unbelievers. The church in Sardis in chapter 3, they had grown careless in obeying God's word. And then the Laodiceans, well, they had become very, very cold indeed. You see, shoddiness is not a new thing. The church has been plagued with it from the beginning. But let me read a verse of scripture with you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. It says there, "Take heed unto thyself." What that means is, analyze yourself. Observe yourself. Watch yourself and check. Are you becoming shoddy? Are you losing out? Are you losing out with God? If the iron be blunt, it won't work well, and it will produce shoddy Christianity. So what steps can we take to rectify shoddiness? Galatians 5. And Galatians 5 tells us about the works or the fruit of the flesh, and beside that, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me read those verses with you. Galatians 5, the verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh, or the fruit of the flesh, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies." These things shouldn't be in the church of God. Read on, verse 21, "envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's solemn language. That means hell. But, verse 22, "but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit are qualities, virtues, that the Spirit brings into the life of the new convert, when the Spirit of God graciously enters you. At the moment of your salvation, He brings all the fruit of the Spirit. So let me just clarify this. It's not that some Christians have the fruit of love and some other Christians have the fruit of joy. No, you have the whole basket. You have them all. The Spirit of God brings them all to the heart. But we have them in varying degrees. Some people are more joyful. Some people are more loving. Some people are more gentle. But herein lies the key to dealing with shoddiness. Because we have them in varying degrees, what we want to do is cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. We want to mortify and crucify the fruit or the works of the flesh, while all the time multiplying the fruit of the Spirit. The hymn writer said, "Give me a love that knows no ill." The psalmist prayed, "Restore my joy." The disciples desired that their faith would be increased. So men and women today, let's be done with shoddiness. Let's cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. The first one there is love. Now if you have heard maybe some secular music recently, maybe you're walking through a shopping center and you hear some secular music being played. If you listen to that, you will find that society has a desperate misunderstanding of what love is. When the Spirit of God enters a believer, He brings a godly love, not a selfish love. Like selfish and love are two contradicting terms. But that's the kind of love that you will hear in society. That when someone makes you feel good, when you feel good, that means you love that person. That's not love, that's selfishness. That's self-love. But the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God enters in, He gives a love that no unbeliever has. He enables you to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when the Spirit of God enters in, this is the kind of love that He plants in you. Not a natural love that we can produce ourselves. It's a supernatural love. 1 John 4. Verses 7 and 8, it says there, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." You see, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that God indeed is love. And so when the Spirit of God enters into you, He brings that quality of love and He works it into you, and then that love works out of you. You will love your fellow man. And so here's something to pray about. Oh Lord, increase my love for you and increase my love for the people round about me. The second one is joy. We want to cultivate these fruits to prevent shoddiness. Joy is the second one. Now, when you think about joy, don't think about happiness. Because happiness is circumstantial. It depends upon your circumstances. If your circumstances are good, you'll be happy. If your circumstances are poor, you will not be happy. But joy is altogether different. You see, joy doesn't depend upon your circumstances. It's always going to be there. And that's what the Spirit of God brings into the believer. Whether you're on the mountaintop or you're down in the valley, the joy is still there. So don't think about happiness. Think about possessing something of great value. And that possession of great value just brings you joy. And what is that valuable possession that the Christian has? Christ. The Spirit of God. Salvation. That's the joy. You see, men and women, it doesn't matter your circumstances, where you are. These things are always true. God is our Father. Christ is our Savior. The Spirit of God is our Comforter. I have a mansion waiting in heaven for me. My name is written in the book of life, and that will never change. That's the joy that the Spirit of God brings. And circumstances doesn't change it. The third one here is peace. Remember what the angels sang when Jesus Christ was born. They sang that lovely hymn, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." That's God's peace toward man. God's goodwill toward man. You see, God's exercising of his good will is seen when he gave us his only begotten Son. And that Son would live and he would die so that my sins would be paid for and forgiven. And that's how God brings peace to men. And when the Spirit of God enters into you, he brings this peace with him. And that peace is first and foremost Godward. You have peace with God. And then it's inward, because you have this sense of assurance. My sins are dealt with. And that brings a peace. It's not only Godward inward, it works outward. Because that will affect how you deal with people around you, because peace is reigning in your heart. That's real peace. You won't find that peace in the world. You will only find it in Christ. Here's what the Lord said in John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." This is the only real peace with God that there is. If you think there's some other way of having peace with God, it's a delusion. It's not true. The only way to have peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, believer, sometimes, certainly our Godward peace remains the same, but sometimes the inner peace we can struggle, because there can be lack of assurance. That's because we're still fighting the fruit of the flesh. And there's a battle there. And we must cultivate the fruit of the Spirit and be rid of our doubtings and go to a higher plane with God. Maybe you struggle to live peaceably with certain people. Well, again, cry, "Oh God, fill me with the Spirit of peace afresh." There's long suffering. That's the next one there. And this is the last one we'll do today. The word long suffering, perhaps we can take the word suffering and change it to, well, temper. Long temper. What's the opposite of a long temper? Short temper. We all know what a short temper is. And sometimes people boast about having a short temper. It's a strange thing. A short temper is nothing to boast about. It's a shameful thing. It's an embarrassing thing. The Bible calls it foolishness. It's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign of shallowness, insecurity. You can't deal with the situations around you. And so you go off on a rant, lose the temper. Nothing to boast in. It's an embarrassing thing. But more importantly, it's sin. It's sin. But the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, long-tempered. That's someone who's mature, sensible, wise, level-headed. This is a Christian grace. And long-suffering is a beautiful and powerful virtue to have. Don't you want everyone around you to be long-suffering with you? Yet sometimes we're the ones who struggle to exercise long-suffering. We can look at gentleness as well here. Gentleness is, well, graciousness. It's a kindly disposition. Friendly, courteous, pleasant. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is envious and hating and murdering. But the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. You can see the difference there. Our flesh is envious. Our flesh can hate. But the Spirit of God brings that gentleness when we deal with the people round about us. And surely there was no one more gentle than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. There's goodness, there's faith, there's meekness, there's temperance. And I would commend those to you for your prayerful consideration and study, that God would work these in you more and more and more, because, men and women, this is how we become more like Christ. This is the Christian's duty. This is God's will for the believer, to be more like Jesus Christ. And Christ perfectly embodied all of these virtues. In conclusion, Robert Murray McShane said to a friend of his who was going to study another language, he said to his friend, "I know you will apply yourself hard to this new language, but do not forget the inner man. I mean the heart. How carefully the soldier keeps his sword clean by wiping off every stain with greatest care. Remember, you are God's instrument. According to the purity and perfection of the instrument will be its success. It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Christ." A Christian who has gone on with God is a great instrument in the hand of God. Let us be done, men and women, with bluntness. Let us go beyond shoddiness to a closer walk with God. But maybe you're listening today and you're not even saved. You had no idea that this is what salvation is, when God enters in and brings all of these virtues with them. Well, today, if you call upon God, the Spirit enters in and He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Call upon Him today. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and heavenly and holy Father, we want to thank You for Christ. We want to thank You for the work of the Spirit within. And oh God, today we pray You'll save us from shoddiness and help the church to be more like Christ and to serve You well. Do us good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.